I'm going to start, take you back to June last year. June of last year, I got moved out of one job to another in the United States military. The job that I was in, men in the unit were getting saved. We were doing some real discipleship. Some of them were attending the church at the time. God moved me from that position to another position. Then about 30 days later, I found out that I was going to Iraq as part of the deployment. Now, folks, I knew about the sovereignty of God. These scriptures make it clear in Daniel chapter 4, verse 25. You know this story. This is where Nebuchadnezzar has that incredible dream, and then Daniel comes forward and interprets them. Nebuchadnezzar gets told that you need to realize that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. Nebuchadnezzar had not come to that realization. And so God took Nebuchadnezzar out into the fields and left him out there for quite some time until he came to the realization that God does, in fact, rule in the kingdom of men. Now, folks, I knew that God ruled in the kingdom of men. But when you're smack dab in the middle of that situation, it's a little hard to realize that. It's much easier when you're looking on that mountaintop. Yeah, I know God's sovereign, but when you're down in that valley, you're struggling. Austin was going to start third grade in August and September. Sunday school was going awesome. And I said to myself, God, why are you moving me to Iraq? I need to be right here. I can't imagine what's going on here. And really struggled, but I knew that God was working in a special way and that I needed to seek Him. I need to find that. So I shared with many folks here in the church that I really wanted to be able to teach when I went to Iraq. This would have been my fourth deployment, and I had a desire to make this deployment something special. I had a desire to be used of God. So many of us in this room began praying toward that end. God, let's work it out, create an opportunity. Well, let me jump forward just a little bit. We left here, flew into Kuwait. You know Kuwait, that's the staging area. For those of you that haven't been there, nearly everyone goes right into Kuwait. That's where you get your equipment, your trucks, you do some additional firing, you get ready. And so we were in those conditions at Kuwait. Normally at evening, you've got lots of free time. And so I attended a Bible study on Monday night. It was a full gospel Bible study. It was really good. And I saw at that Bible study that there was another sign the next night for a Lutheran Bible study. Of course, I'm not a Lutheran, but I said don't have anything else going on. And I committed to going to that Bible study at that night. The next day rolled around. Evening time came. I went to dinner. After dinner, I went to the MWR tent. That's the Morale Welfare Recreation tent. That's where the computers are. You can check your email and such. I remember getting an email from Jason Myall that night, and what an encouragement that is. Folks, you don't realize what an encouragement it is to get an email from somebody from your church family when you're that far away. And that was a tremendous encouragement. I was answering that email, and all of a sudden I looked at my watch, and I realized that I was already late for the Bible study. Well, what do you think I started contemplating? Skipping, that's right. I started contemplating, should I skip it? And do you know that the Holy Spirit said to me, no, you go to that Bible study. You know what I'm talking about? That clear speaking the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 8, verse 29. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go. Can I pause for just a minute and ask you, when was the last time the Holy Spirit spoke to you? Can you recall a time? You know, one of the surest signs that you're saved is when the Holy Spirit speaks to you. That's tremendous assurance of the eternal security of the believer. Because if God's Spirit's residing inside you and you hear that clear distinction, you say, God, you're still there. I'm still saved. I'm still securely secure. So I was going to that tent, working my way over to that Bible study, and I said, what am I going to, a Lutheran Bible study? Really not expecting to get a lot, folks, to be quite honest with you. Went to the Bible study, and at the Bible study, I looked across, and I saw a chaplain with a division patch on the left shoulder, an 82nd division patch. So I said, that's interesting. I don't know that man. And afterwards, we stayed in fellowship, and his name was Cody Vest. Well, I shared with Cody Vest that night. I shared with him my desire to teach. And Cody said to me that he was going to the same location that I was going to, but he would not be the senior chaplain at that camp, Ford Operating Base or camp or whatever you want to call it. This happened to be Champion, Maine. So Cody could not commit at that time, but we committed ourselves to praying about the opportunity to teach. Well, the Sunday arrived, and we had now moved up to Iraq, jumped forward. I moved up to Iraq on a C-130, did not have to make that ground convoy, praise God. God took me up there, flew over there for a CH-47. Praise God for CH-47 pilots. They get you from one location to another in a hurry. Got to Champion, Maine, went to church that Sunday morning. It was a Presbyterian chaplain. Again, may I pause a minute and tell you something? No matter what the denomination's going on, you need to be in that chapel service. You need to be in that chapel service. Don't ask yourself, what denomination? That's not my denomination. Because your unsaved friend in your unit, your unsaved fellow soldier, they don't know that the reason you're skipping that is because they're too liberal. They don't know that. They see you skipping and wonder, well, if that doesn't even have an impact on his life and he's a Christian, why in the world should I go to that chapel service? So may I encourage you to be faithful to those services. Well, Cody came up to me after the service and he said, you know what? Colonel Smith, the division chaplain, has given me permission to be the camp pastor. I'm in charge of all religious activities. I get to run the entire thing. He's going to take care of other things. How'd you like to do the Wednesday night Bible study? Okay, what he said to me was, how'd you like to teach the Wednesday night Bible study? It's all yours. Now, we had been praying about that. Who had been praying about that? You had been praying about that. We had been praying about that. Pam had been praying about that. I knew that God had given me the spiritual gift of teaching, and I needed to be about using that spiritual gift. You can't just take a leave of absence for 6 months on your spiritual gift. You need to be using it. God's given each of us a shape, and we need to use that to His glory. So Cody said, how about you lead the Wednesday night Bible study? And so I said, praise God. Then I said, Holy Spirit, what do I need to teach that Bible study on? The Holy Spirit said, well, you're right next to the Euphrates River. Euphrates takes you to the Old Testament. Daniel, the young man, when he was carried away from the Euphrates River, was carried by the Euphrates River. Do you know he actually journeyed by there? I said, Daniel, that's it. We're going to teach from Daniel. So the first Wednesday occurred. We had seven in attendance, and we were excited. God was moving. This was in the middle of September. The next person God moved in my life was Rob Scott. Rob Scott attends Northview Baptist Church. Now, I'm going to show you how all this ties together. Northview's pastored by a pastor that came right out of this church. Right out of this church. Rob was incredibly faithful. He was a staff NCO moving into a first sergeant job. I was a first sergeant moving into a staff NCO job. So our hearts were knit together right away. So God had put a Southern Baptist chaplain who was very conservative, an independent guy, another independent guy together, and then to top it all off, if that wasn't enough, God put Tommy Steele and I in the exact same building. Now you talk about putting a core of believers together to set the conditions to begin to do a work. God was working all through this, and I could begin to see His sovereign hand piecing all this together. It took a little bit of time, but I could begin to see God moving. Cody and I committed to praying. We committed to two things. Cody and I committed on a regular basis each night that we would meet for two things. Number one, prayer, because we knew prayer was the absolute ticket, the absolute key, the absolute necessity to do anything for the Lord. And then we committed to be an accountability partner. What do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you, tell you how Cody and I would do it. The first thing we would meet with each other, we'd say, Cody, did you do your devotions today? What'd you read? And how'd the Holy Spirit speak to you that? You know, it does something when you have an accountability partner. You really can't get a hold of anything and really win the victory until you have an accountability partner. Now, man, let me tell you something. You know who can be your greatest accountability partner if you're married? Your wives. Your wives. My wife, Pamela, has been an accountability partner for me for years and years and years. Do you know that the reason I do my devotions is because when she asks me about it, you know what I want to be able to say? Yes. I don't want to have to give her some lame excuse and then start tap dancing about, oh, I was really busy and this and this and this. Men, do you realize that in this church, let me tell you something, in this church, now I'm not trying to be real harsh right now, but here's a fact. There are some wives out there that would love to be your accountability partner, but you know why they're not? They're afraid of how you're going to react when they ask you that tough question. Can I say that again? Because it's deathly silent in here right now. Men, if you really want to get on board and begin working for the Lord and doing something for the Lord, you need an accountability partner. And your wife is ready to be that partner for you if you will let her. Well, it's awful. Cody and I began praying together. And we began sharing what was going on in our lives. Tommy and I began praying together on a regular basis. Tommy and I worked through the purpose-driven life in September, October, and November. God was knitting our hearts together. God was knitting my heart together with Cody. one day Cody came back to me and Cody said, I want you to pray for a soldier. Cody said, I went to counsel with this soldier and he just flat out told me, go away. He said, I don't believe in God and you can't counsel with me. Cody did not share the name. Said the soldier's going through some really tough times right now and I want you to begin praying for him. So we just began to pray on a regular basis for this unnamed soldier on a consistent basis. How many of you here were here last Sunday and you remember a young lady going forward and Lori Taylor dealt with her? Do you remember that? She was a young lady that got saved last. Let me share with you how all that came together. They're here tonight and we're going to have the privilege of talking to them for just a minute. Javier Chavarez was also deployed to the same base camp that I was. And in September of last year, he was having some tough times. His wife was serving in Korea. He was in Iraq. They were a newlywed couple. They were having a tough time, thousands of miles apart. And so they were having a tough time. Cody was the unit chaplain for that unit. So you know one of his responsibilities was to see those type of soldiers and ask if he could help. Would you all come up now? This is Javier and Leanne. Leanne came forward last Sunday. Lori Taylor had the privilege of sharing with her. I want to kind of show you how all this came together. In an attempt to, number one, give God glory. That's what we want to do. We want to say, God, you're awesome. You can sovereignly work this together. And then use it as a learning point for us. Do you remember the time that Cody came and saw you?
Yes, I do.
What was your reaction?
I had no belief in the Lord, and I just didn't even want to listen to him. I just told him to get out of my face, is what I told him.
Yeah, I remember Cody came back and said, this man's an atheist. So we began praying towards that end. Then the next thing I remember was that Javier showed up at the Bible study. Now, I didn't know who he was, but afterwards, when Cody and I met for our evening prayer time, Cody said, you're not going to believe this. The man that we've been praying for, he was in your Bible study that night. Javier, how'd you end up coming to the Bible study?
I heard from some of my fellow soldiers that go to the church that they had been praying for me, and I saw faith in those people, and I just wanted to see what they were all seeing.
Now, let me show you how awesome this is. Rob Scott is his first sergeant. And the first thing Rob did when he got into that unit is he started writing on the white dry erase board, Wednesday night Bible study, the time, and what our subject was going to be. And we saw a real increase from his unit in that Bible study. Then sometime after that, you accepted the Lord. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
You remember the day?
I accepted the Lord on the 29th of September.
Now, we had been praying on a regular basis, on a consistent basis. God saved his soul. God saved his soul. I didn't even know his name, but God knew his name. And we were consistently praying. I was praying. Rob Scott was praying. I know I shared it with Tommy at that time. Men were praying. Let me tell you who else was praying. Wayne Taylor was praying. Now here, isn't this awesome? Wayne Taylor would routinely email me on Tuesdays and ask how the Bible study is going. And then on Thursdays, I'd send him an update. And on a regular basis, Wayne Taylor was emailing me. You know who else was? Don Adams. On a regular and consistent basis, Don would tell me we're praying for the Bible study. We had a staff meeting. Staff's praying for the Bible study. You see, you're right here in Fayetteville. We're thousands of miles away, and you're having an impact on God. After you were saved, then the next thing happened is you were baptized. Is that right?
Yes, I was.
Yeah. What an awesome service. We had a service in which 13 men and women committed their lives and stepped forward and said, I'm going to profess our belief in Christ through baptism. What was awesome is the water that you were baptized was from where?
It was from the Euphrates River.
Yeah, we actually went and got water from the Euphrates. They wouldn't let us actually go down in the river, but we used that river water and put it in there. Now, the month was when?
It was in November.
It was in November. By then, it was a little chilly. Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You should have seen the look in their faces as they came up out of that water. Now, after you began to grow in the Lord, what did you next become concerned about?
Saving my wife.
You see how that works? So you shared that on a regular basis, is that right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And so all of us now, instead of praying for his salvation, Leanne, we began to pray for your salvation. We had never met you before, but God had put it in our hearts that you too needed to be saved because he was leading the way as the spiritual leader of the family. You see? He realized that he was responsible for seeing that his wife got saved. So the first Sunday that y'all were back in town, I had given you an invitation beforehand, right? And then we saw ourselves out at the mall, out at JCPenney. And then the first Sunday that they were back in town, where were we off?
We're right here.
Right here. The first Sunday, folks. Then you went on vacation, and on vacation you went to church as well. Is that right?
Every Sunday.
Every Sunday. You see, we've got some repentance here. We've got some turning. We've got a changed life going on here. Javier was incredibly faithful at the Bible studies, consistent in his attendance. Then last Sunday, you weren't here, were you?
No, I was on duty last Sunday.
Right. And Leanne, you came on your own?
Yes.
Yeah. That was pretty exciting for you?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And what happened last Sunday?
She was saved last Sunday.
Okay, y'all must not have heard that. That's the only thing I can conclude. See, this is not a small matter. If we'll fully grasp the eternity of hell, when we find out that someone's been saved, we're going to think, holy, God be the glory. You see? Do you see how God sovereignly moves and puts all this together? And he's moving here. God's moving here. He's putting this person over here. God's putting this person here. All to do what? To bring salvation apart. To bring people into their lives. Thank you so much for that opportunity. Wasn't that awesome? And we appreciate them coming forward and sharing that with us. You know, they weren't the only ones that were saved. God was doing an incredible work over there. The Bible study was growing and growing. We went from 7 to 14. From 14 to the point where we couldn't meet around a table anymore. We were averaging 40 and 50 folks. God began to tell me, Sean, you need to give an invitation. Now, this is at a Wednesday night Bible study led by the chaplains, and I had complete freedom to just proclaim the gospel without... We were using King James Bible, right down the line, premillennial, exactly the way we believe it. Folks were coming on a regular basis. We had a Wednesday where we had a high of 62. A high of 62. I mean, God was working in a special way. The second baptismal service, we had six more men come forward and get baptized. I could spend the same interview time and talk about who do I have up here. Let's go on to the next slide. Well, I think, there we go. That's the first baptismal service. 13 people getting saved there. Chaplain Smith on the left side. Chaplain Vest, and then Chaplain Payne on the lower right. And the next one. This was after the first baptismal. We gathered all the candidates that had been baptized, and we laid hands on them. We prayed for their future, and that was just a special time. The next one. Let me tell you about Freddie Lorenz. Freddie Lorenz was Rob Scott's supply sergeant. What an awesome guy. But he was unsaved. In fact, he was very anti coming to the Bible study. But God began to knit our hearts together. And so what did we do? What did we do? That's right. We prayed. That's the first thing we need to do. Do you understand that no man comes to the Son except the Father does what? Draws him. Draws him. And so the foundation, the condition for seeing souls saved is prayer. So we began to pray for Freddie. He was saved and baptized over there. Now, what's unique about Freddie is that he's got a wife, and his wife is unsaved too. Freddie has some children. What does that tell you? What does that remind me of? Pray for them. Folks, there's an entire population out there that needs a good church. I was amazed at the number of people that were faithful to the Bible study. And when I asked them, what's the local church you attend back in Fayetteville? You know what they said? None. I don't have one. I'm not part of a local church. And these are folks who are coming on a regular basis and growing. And they don't have a church. We have got to figure out a way to get them into our church. They need a home church. Let's go on to the next one and we'll get ready to close. This was Specialist Henry. Henry was a former Mormon. A guy by the name of Rhodes. Rhodes normally sits right around here. You probably remember Rhodes. He's real faithful now, deployed probably on vacation right now. We'll be back in his place. God began to work with Rhodes in Henry's life. And then I began to stop and talk to Henry about Jesus Christ. And he became coming. And before you know it, Henry confessed that Jesus was his Lord and Savior. Henry got baptized. We had 20 people get baptized in a 6-month period. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. The camp we were on had less than 1,000 people. Now, Pastor, imagine a small town in the United States with 1,000 people, and in that period of time, they see 20 baptized. There's not a lot of small towns in America that are doing that. I'm going to be quite frank with you. There's plenty of churches that if every now and then they warm the baptismal up, that's about good with them. But God was doing a work over there, and it was special. And let me tell you, and we'll close. The reason God was doing that work was one thing, and it was prayer. Let's close by looking at Colossians chapter 3, and we'll be done. You know what the one thing Pastor told me? He said, watch your time. So that's what I'm doing. I'm watching it tick right by, and it's moving quickly. This is just like Sunday school, ambassadors. It's incredible how fast the time goes. I was wrong. Chapter number 4. Let's look over to chapter number 4. And we'll be done. You remember when the kids were up here? The little boy that was standing right over here talked about the mystery. You remember that word? Let me show you how awesome the Holy Spirit is. He talked about the mystery. The fact that the resurrection is a mystery. Look down at verse number 3. We'll back up and look at 2. In Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 2, Paul's admonishing the church at Colossae to do some things. And he says in verse number 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Then look at verse number 3. Then he says, with all is an old English word. We don't normally use that very often now, but it means at the same time or meanwhile or as you're doing this other praying and thanksgiving. This is what I also want you to pray about. Pray also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Look what they're going to speak now. To speak the mystery of Christ. To speak. What's Paul saying here? Paul's saying, this is what I need you to do, Church of Colossae. As you're praying, as you pray for your daily needs, as you pray for your family, as you pray for giving thanksgiving, as you're doing that part of your regular prayer time, at the same time, I need you to pray that as we're out doing the work for the Lord, that God would go before us and open a door. What door needs to be opened? The door to allow us to do what? To present the gospel. That's the mystery. Prayer partners, don't neglect your responsibilities in the faith ministry on Thursday nights. Do you realize you have as much a responsibility as the person that's going like this? Let me tell you something. I can knock like this all day long, but if there isn't someone praying that God's going to open a door so that we can share the mystery, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If you are absolutely committed to seeing a soul saved, may I ask you this simple question? When was the last time you prayed for that person? If you're praying by yourself, do you have a person that you can pray with? Have you shared that need with someone else? And are you committed to praying together on a consistent and regular basis for the salvation of that person? And then the last thing I'll share with you, in addition to prayer, what made this all possible was you folks. How is that, Sean? It was a tough deployment for Pam, I, and Austin. Y'all know that. Some of you that are intimate with our families, you know that. It was a tough deployment. I contemplated on a regular basis going to my leadership and saying, I need to be back home with my family. My wife's going through quite a time. My son is struggling. I need to be there with him on a regular basis. But at the same time, I said, God, you're sovereign, and you put me over here for a reason. You know, in Esther, Mordecai comes to Esther and says, you know, for such a time as this, Esther, you've been put in this position for such a time as this. And I knew that God had put me in this position for such a time as this. You know how we were able to make it? You know how we were able to make it? People like Don Adams involved in my son's life. People like Ron Garcia involved in my son's life. Knowing that you were praying. Knowing that if I sent an email to Steve Wilson and said, please check on Pam, that she would do that. What's your point, Sean? This is what I want to get you to realize. Number one, prayer is the absolute baseline ingredient, a necessity to seeing souls saved. And number two, if this church is going to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to do it as a team. Okay, we have to do it as a team. It takes every one of us to fulfill the Great Commission. Every one of us. We have got to be committed to meeting each other's needs so that we in turn can get out there and find those who are looking for that church, who need to hear Jesus Christ, who haven't been baptized yet, who are looking to be discipled. Freddie's wife, Lorenza's wife, and many more. Many more. Let's now bow our heads for a time of prayer.